Our conversation was so exciting and great before we started recording, and then you got bossy and made me record it. You can't write God on a piece of paper and throw it away?
I was raised that you don't write G-O-D on a piece of paper because you could throw that away. So you do write G-D.
Wow.
I don't know. It's weird. I don't
know. Wow.
Do I do that?
He's a little fragile. He's a little fragile.
He?
She? It's a little fragile. It doesn't sound right. It sounds bad.
I think you mean fragile.
Fragile. Oh, I got the funniest little gag. I know. We got to do the show.
So here's what's interesting. I don't have my clips because they are in my computer, which means no drops and no songs.
This
so you
is
might
going
have to
be the best show ever. You do it, and then I will do the song. Which
okay,
I don't,
that's awesome.
I don't
all
fucking
right.
know it. Fuck, do I know it?
You do. Surge pricing, going viral, and failed execution. All this and more on today's Brilliant Observations. Do, 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 do.
Do, 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 do. I don't remember the Falcons fucking song. Do, 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 do. How's it go? It's so cheesy. I always turn it off. Fucking, how's it go?
How dare you?
I've hated that song since the beginning. I've always hated it. And then I started to love it because you trained me like a Pavlov dog. And it got in my head. In like, my head. Yes. Hate
it. Zombie-ing for me right now?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's what I want to tell you. My son, zombie. quick, because this isn't worth it and you get cut out, so I got to do it fast so you can cut it quicker. So my son's at lacrosse practice, and the coach starts telling everybody, we're going to do this drill in the shape of a, and he's pointing, it's in the shape of a bow tie, in the shape of a bow tie. And he goes, and for our Italian teammates, what's that mean?
Farfalle. Did he?
He did.
Are you serious?
He did. He did. He looked at him. He goes, and for our Italian teammates, and he points at my son, and my son says, farfalle. And everyone in the whole thing starts cutting up, busting up, laughing. And I'm really glad that he knew, because if he didn't know, he would have had egg on his little Italian face.
Do you know I had that for dinner last night?
Yeah. You did? Good old farfalle. You did the bow tie drill. I love it.
It was actually the night before last. Amy, I sent you a picture from the restaurant I went to. And it was Versace designed. The guy who owns it.
Super
was,
right.
Was the guy who owns it was dressed in Versace to the nines. Nobody's in the restaurant. It's like a Wednesday night in Atlantic City. We are the only people at 6 p.m. We were so worried that this restaurant was going to fail that
it
we had so many
February,
questions.
It was February, though. It was February.
That's what they said. Yeah. By the time we left, there were more people there, but it was lush and gorgeous. The fabrics, the china, like you could touch it with your eyes. It was just, it bathed you in luxuriousness.
The thing about being Italian and loving Italian design is it kind of takes two complete camps for me.
Tell me.
Well, the range goes from one extreme to the other. And one is super modern, crisp, clean, minimalist, beautiful, vibrant, all color, just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And the other is baroque, ornate, layers upon layers upon layers upon layers upon crazy ass layers, an entire history of heritage, and all like every single art period slapped into the same painting all at once and hit with gold 18 times.
That one.
You could taste it, plus sugar.
That's the one.
It's like, and it's like they both cohabitate. They both attract. This idea of two things that could not be further from each other, it is the continuum. I love it.
How does it work so beautifully? Because if I were to decorate something, I would pick one of those patterns that would be the center of what was going on in a room, and I would palely do things around it. You said it perfectly. They layer them.
Yep.
There were cushions on some of the benches and chairs that were so elaborate that I wouldn't have put with the gorgeous china that went on the plate, that went with the back and the art and the fabrics that went over. It was so ornate and beautiful, and gold everywhere.
Yep.
It felt like it was partially Trump's toilet. I don't know what
was
going on.
Yes, it's so
gorgeous.
Gaudy. It like shoots past gaudy into tasteful again.
Into gorgeous.
Yes.
I want to know that line between who, what, the fuck?
Wow.
Like, how do you go from who the fuck would put this together to dear God, this is a genius? I couldn't believe my eyes.
If I knew, I would command more power, attention, and finances than I do at the moment. What I can tell you is I have such romance and venerated love for the lineage of my people and the experiences that they've had and the things that are important to them. And I perceive in that fantasy romance that it's like looking at a Tuscan landscape. You look at it and you think, like looking at, in some cases, looking at a Hawaiian beach, or, you know what I mean? At some place, you go someplace so naturally beautiful where it's saturated with so much to pay attention to, you sort of absorb it. It is the,
with no
it
effort.
Is the terror, right? It's like you absorb it through the skin. And I just feel like that's what that heavily ornate, like weirdly classical, but yet not gaudy, but yet not Italianate design, the Baroque design. To me, it feels like all the generations at once. And that's, but I love
without
it.
The bleh, I agree.
No, but it's in the same way that what makes the best red sauce. It's because it's been simmering for a long time with a lot
sitting
of ingredients
in
it, and they all have a place, and they all contribute. And you don't pick out the one tomato. It's like all of the tomatoes. We've used all of them, right? In this pillow.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
I don't know. I feel like more is always better with Italians. And that's kind of how
Italians. Like, yeah. Bigger is
more
better.
More is always
more
better.
More is better. Okay.
Yes. More is more. So, yes. Anyway.
Mewer. Mewer is mewer.
I just saw five geese. I'm a geese gal.
Yeah, geese are, they're following you. That's crazy.
Oh, I got to tell you one more thing about the geese. I know you got to get to your piece too.
Oh.
When I mentioned to my son that I sold him out and talked about the geese on that prior episode.
Yeah.
And it was so abhorrent to the people who didn't realize this was indoctrinated in our school culture that we're geese killers. He said, you don't even know the half of it. They used to, for gym class, for PE, as the kids call it.
Oh, no.
They used to have us chase the geese. They would physically aim us toward the geese and run them off the fields and out into the woods. Our job as children was to run after the geese to scare them away. I'm like, really? This does sound like little Nazis. Like they're training up little militants. I mean, you know, it's terrible. It's like in Iraq. I'm sorry, I don't know which one it was, where they would put in playgrounds, they would replace the handles on the teeter-totter and on the swing sets and stuff with AK-47 handles so that children
were very
comfortable being around. They would just replace the handles of toys with it. So it had no function as a gun, just so that the handle was a part of everyday life as part of the indoctrination.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I've seen video of it, of kids playing on a playground that was affixed this way. I can only hope that it was made up and that I have been lied to by some weird conspiracist. But it looked pretty fucking real.
That's terrifying.
And I feel like it
awful.
Was 60 fucking minutes. But anyway, what do they know?
I just they just researched.
They only have an hour.
To death.
Fuck them.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
Wow. Okay. So here we are face to face, a couple of silver spoons. No.
Is
That's
that a
not
song
your child.
From like a television show?
It is. I was going to say, is that not your childhood also?
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Silver Spoons. That's Rick Schroeder.
Ricky, oh, God. No, no, no.
Nasty.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
I was heavily competing at that time. Didn't have time for Rick Schroeder.
Okay.
Ricky, as I'm told.
Ricky. First, guys, I want to thank you for being there, for being supportive, for being active, for reaching out. This past couple of weeks has really fucking sucked in the Brilliant household. And I want to thank you, Amy, especially you. I so fucking supportive. I know Amy's addressed the fact that I have a friend who's sick, but I also had a husband who was on trial for negligence, for malpractice. And the trial is now over and he was found non-negligent. But it was a really very, very stressful time when somebody's coming for you for a multi-million dollar settlement and you look around and the things in your life that are worth the most are three canines that are marching around you at all times. So that's a little stressful.
I just want to jump in because you dropped a huge bomb for those who are catching up. So to help people take a breath and catch up along with you. Yes, for the past more than a year, you have had awareness and knowledge of this simmering. More than 1 year, you've had, she keeps making a hand signal five. So for 5 years, you've had a simmering in the background awareness that this could be brought to trial over something that, according to the facts, was very likely not going to harm you. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it seems like this case shouldn't even go forward, and maybe that's why it took 5 years and on and on. Long story short, it came to a head in the past 4 weeks that it actually occurred. There was a physical trial where, just like you see on TV, your husband sat in court on a stand. No phone, no way to talk to you. You didn't physically go there, so you didn't know what was happening, and you're waiting like the NBC correspondents when Donald Trump is in jail, prison, court, sorry. They're all the same.
All of them.
Right? Yep. And so they wait for some intern to come sprinting around the corner with their sneakers on and say, okay, so the judge just said, happa, happa, happa. Yeah, so this is how it's been for 3 days while this was going on. And, you know, I think you can piece together some facts. If the trial only took 3 days, it again, the case kind of fell apart, because I think we've all heard talk about this particular doctor, and we can all surmise that, you know, ain't nobody coming for him, and the ones that do are wrong before they begin. So, but I just want people to catch up to how incredibly stressful that would be for you. Put yourself in that situation. It's even harder when it's not you, because all you can do is watch. All you can do is hope and support and think, what am I going to do to make it better? I'll take it one step further. I have been watching you go through and be in that situation, vibrating with the stress of it and continuing to move through your day, which includes a deeply held love for a childhood friend who is facing down the toughest diagnosis anyone can ever get. That's too much fucking shit all at once. All the people that you care about and your child getting ready to go away. For a big, or who was already away in Australia, and you getting ready to get on a plane with your fear of, so there's a whole lot of fucking shit. And guess
what?
It was
a bad few weeks.
You still showed up. Really, you still showed up. You still gave people a laugh. You still put on the face that says, all of my shit that's simmering on the inside, I don't even need to tell you about it, because instead, I'm going to tell you about bears shitting in the woods, or whatever the fuck we talked about.
Or my driveway.
Because I don't even remember, right? So that power and that ability to compartmentalize, focus on someone else, protect yourself, still find yourself in a giving, grateful state, to come all the way through it, and to have the outcome, the first of many outcomes, be better than you could possibly imagine. Complete, you said not liable, or whatever namby-pamby thing you said. He's fucking not guilty! Because there's no guilt, because he's not at fault, because he's, fuck you, you're wrong, you piece of horrible litigant shit.
And you want to take that point, but her husband's dead.
I don't care about that. That's not my fault. Like, I'm not God. Yeah.
But here's what I don't like. I don't like that eventually people take cases to make an example of them. This is a frivolous lawsuit, and we're going to make an example of it.
Right.
Well, guess what? Their attorney gave a closing that could have made you cry. This is a love story. This is a, but I don't, here's the bottom line. This is a jury of your peers. I don't fucking trust my peers. What do you think about a professional jury? What do you think about being a juror as a professional job and not a jury by your peers? Because I got to tell you, these are 12, 15, well, you have alternates, 15 people total who weren't smart enough to get out of jury duty. These are people you want deciding your fate? What? That's 15 me's just sitting there waiting to alternate into the 12. Like, that's crazy. What do you think about a professional jury?
My gut reaction, my knee-jerk reaction is no chance, no way, that it would be far worse than the situation we have now. And the reason is, we, every other aspect of the system is a profession, is paid, is appointed, is voted, right? And it comes down to, then you begin to truly question the bias of that person. We're looking at a Supreme Court right now whose ethics and bias been called into ultimate question. And they are qualified, capable people.
Right.
I think that they are, I think it's a corrupt court. I think it's a corrupt Supreme Court. I don't love it. I don't know what the answer is. I would love to say the answer is they all got to go and we get 9 new ones. And I don't believe in expanding the court. But in terms of your question, and do we make them a professional?
Yeah.
I just don't see how that's better than the army of recruits who are tasked with honesty. I think the challenge becomes one of our system is based on moral code, honesty, doing the right thing. There's a lot baked into our legal system that comes down to you have to trust me. You have to trust me that I can be trustworthy, that I can make a decision based on this information, and that that decision is going to hold from day to day, week to week, month to month, forever. So it's
you're good with that? You're good with that trust me theory?
I don't see how introducing commerce and fee structure makes trust any higher.
That's true.
I really don't, because then it comes, there's so many ways to manipulate that. So, I mean, here's what I can say about malpractice suits in general, having nothing to do with your husband at all. Knowing that you were going through this and that there was nothing I could do for you, many of the parents on the lacrosse team for my son are physicians of many stripes and sorts, right? Most of them surgeons, right? No stranger to a malpractice suit.
I'll bet, yeah.
So I happened to ask this couple, both of whom are surgeons. I said, a friend of mine's husband is going through his first ever. And they went, oh, wow, how young is he?
25 years practicing?
And I said, he's really old. And they said, he's never had one? And they're like, wow, okay, what's that like? And then I said, all right, so my question to you is that, and I said, and before you even ask, there is no merit to this case. And they said, there never is. And I said, no, but in all seriousness, he actually didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything questionable. Like, this is one that we're sort of surprised. And they're like, it's usually the case. Like, they weren't even fazed by it.
Not surprised at all, huh?
And I was like, that's gross. And then I said, okay, so my question is, what is there anything I can do to make it better, to be supportive? What would you have liked to hear? Like, I am inventing this story that he's staying up all night long and not getting any sleep and not eating and going over every word he's ever said for the past, 67,000 years of his breathing life. And they're like, yeah, that's what you do. And then you just, and you also shit your pants and, like
all the things. The only thing different than what you said is instead of not eating, we ate everything.
And I happen to say, because it stretched to its second day and they kind of thought it was going to be over in a day and a half. And they went, a day and a half? They usually take like 2 weeks.
It took 2 weeks.
And I was like, really?
They were exactly right.
Okay. So they're like, yeah, it usually takes 2 weeks and, this and that. And you got to get through it. And it's like a rite of passage. And I'm sure he's going to be fine. And there's nothing that you can do. And because honestly, there's nothing he can do. And it's the little bit like this. If you can, and I hate to keep bringing this up, I feel like I talk about it all the time. If you can remember George Floyd and the trial for the police officers who killed him on camera, who physically killed him, if you can remember waiting for the verdict, do you remember when the verdict was coming down against those police officers?
Sure,
they were being tried for murder. And I vividly remember thinking, I hope they're convicted, but they might not be convicted, because I didn't know. I had doubt that these people who I saw on video, virtually live, execute a man that is illegal. I thought, despite seeing it happen, our legal system would find them not guilty. If I had doubt for a second that they would be not guilty, that's all the proof you need that the legal system is flawed. There is no world where they're not guilty. But I still thought, maybe, because they're cops,
right?
And they're white and they're in wherever state they're in. And I don't know. Right. Same thing that we're going through with some of the lawsuits right now regarding former President Donald Trump. We have doubt that the Supreme Court or any court is going to go in the direction that the facts and the logic would
predict. Right, that's funny. We have reasonable doubt on the court, but we don't have reasonable doubt if he's guilty.
Right. That's the reason that the past 2 weeks, 5 years of your life have been insane. Because from a factual standpoint, there was no liability. Two things can be true. I can provide the best care possible, and you can still have a negative outcome. that is the vagaries of the human body. What can I tell you? I'm very sad that this happened, and yet I'm not responsible for this happening. So you don't get to come and take my dogs away.
Right. And you also know that you can't say I'm sorry, because that makes you right. There are so many. And he is sorry. It's like, not sorry for what he did, but sorry that somebody, anybody, has to go through this. And I hope she's sorry she put our family through this. But
right.
I have a kid. She's not. I'm probably not. They're, she's not. We're waiting to see if they appeal. But that aside, speaking of appeals, did you know that there was a failed execution in Idaho? You the pimp. Did you know that?
That sounds disgusting to me.
They went to euthanize a guy. It's like their first one in 12 years. The first one. And they could not get a line in his arm to facilitate the lethal injection. They could not get it in. They tried again and again. A pincushion. They tried again and again. They could not get it in. And here's the best part. It's first one in 12 years in Idaho. Since they couldn't do it, the...
You get go free?
You don't go free, but you no longer are put to death. They determined that medical team could not establish an IV, and he was returned to his cell, and witnesses were escorted out. The death warrant expired. That might be how he feels right now. But what? It expired?
What? Come on.
So now Idaho pays for him to live there forever now.
Which, okay, I officially am going to become a court-appointed phlebotomist, and I will never be able to find a vein. This is the
right?
path to freedom.
I'm fine with that.
This shit. That's ridiculous. I'm so grateful that it was not a botched.
No, they just couldn't get a line
in. I seem to recall sometime in the past year there was a botched one where they tried a new execution method, which is barbaric to even imagine such a sentence could be made. And it did not work expeditiously. And there was something like 2 or 3 minutes with witnesses while this person was tortured and then died. So that's got to be fun. Feels great. Feels great that this is the way we resolve differences among humans. Let's kill him. Yeah. No.
And in lieu of killing him, oh, I guess he lives here now.
Let's just torture him. No, that doesn't work. How about mental torture? I get it. He's already
prepared.
We'll
go with that.
He's prepared for his death. He has prepared for the ultimate death. One must to get to that situation. And now, psych, you go live, but in here, in a place you don't like.
So I asked, what happens now? Like, first of all, why can't you get a line in? I give, you know, ad nauseum. I give blood. If you can't get a line in, he said somebody probably told him, if you dehydrate yourself for several days, your veins shrink, you can't get a line, and maybe he did it himself. I don't know. I can't know. But guess who now lives? Mr. Creech now lives in Idaho in perpetuity.
I kind of feel like he should be up for the death penalty. That name sounds like a killer.
Creech.
Mr. Creech. He didn't do something good. He did not do something good.
Definitely murdered two people, so that's why he was there. But he got out of it.
It's a real toe-tapper. I really love the content on this episode.
Farfalle.
I'm so glad he fucking knew. I am too.
I'm furious. I know. I don't eat fast food, so you would think it wouldn't bother me at all. But knowing full well that Wendy's is now trying out surge pricing for fast food like Uber does for rides.
I have to believe. Let's catch everybody up. Wendy's fast food chain has announced that in 2025, they are going to test run a policy where in their busiest periods, they will increase their prices temporarily, because when it's busier, you'll pay more. Just like you do with airline tickets. Just like you do when you're hiring an Uber. The prices fluctuate based on demand from consumers. So when there's more people interested in buying Wendy's burgers, they will increase the price. And when the price when there's less demand, the price will go down. They're going to test this in 2025. And they are the first to go through with it, because this plan was floated among several other fast food chains who one would perceive had the fucking brain cells to realize this is death to commerce. We will not do it.
I hope it's death to fast food. I hope they learn a very good lesson. But I honestly feel like, well, who do you think, whom do you think they are punishing with this? Because it's not.
Shift workers?
you're punishing shift workers. You are punishing poor people.
Yeah. People who are having a break from work. Your break is at the time your break is. You don't get to pick when your break is. You have to go get lunch. So now you have to pay more for your lunch because your break is when your break is? Fuck you, Wendy. I'm not eating your shit. You can lump it. Fucking crazy little redheaded bastard.
I'm not a fast food fan. I am less of one now. How could you do that? People who get out of work, go to pick up a bag of burgers to feed their family. They're killing themselves all day long at work. We're not talking about the families who have mommy making farfalle for them.
I'm going to name drop because I find a way to work this in every chance I get. So I'm going to name drop. I do have sympathy for the fast fooders of the world. We are connected to the family, this kid that my son went to high school with and played lacrosse with for his whole time. His uncle invented the Big Mac. He is the true inventor of the Big Mac. So, and their legacy is that they own several franchises, but it's really the legacy is, thanks a lot, Uncle Big Mac, because you invented it. They're sort of set forever and for life. And the reality is the margins are so tight and so small at fast food. It's a very difficult business to be in. You have to pay out in so many, it's a flawed structure. You have to pay out in so many directions. So it's a tough life. You sort of think like, man, I want to own a couple of fast food places because that's just easy money. It's not. You can remember back in the day in college when you went to Taco Bell to get a couple of 99-cent tacos or whatever it was.
29-cent tacos.
2 for $0.99 or something. Yeah. And tacos are still like a dollar today, right? They still have like a 99-cent menu or something.
I wouldn't
like this.
Know.
Some of them still have a 99-cent menu. So, I mean, the prices have gone up, but not crazy. When you consider that was 31 years ago that I'm talking about, or longer, 40 years ago to being in high school and going to these fast food places. And the prices have really remained stagnant all that time. The cost of all the ingredients has not remained stagnant. It has gone up. The cost of every single facet.
Fine.
So
add a quarter.
What has
add
happened?
A quarter to everything. Don't do this bullshit punishing people who need this at 1 hour that I have to eat. Now I have to pay more. Add a quarter to your quarter pounder. Let that be the reason that's why. Don't do
no,
this.
No, be fair about it. If you got to raise the prices, raise the prices. But I'm don't start me on prices. Butter, a pound of Land O'Lakes butter, which I'm sorry, I don't always buy Land O'Lakes. So let's be honest. I only buy Land O'Lakes when it's on sale. I never buy Land O'Lakes if it's full price. Guess how much a pound of Land O'Lakes butter quarters, 1 pound, salted butter in sticks?
$4.30.
$8.99.
It does not compute.
It was on sale for $7.99. And I was like, is this two? Do I get two of these for $8? No. Why is it on sale? Oh, because it was $9? Fucking butter.
What's that Irish butter that we buy?
Kerrygold.
Yeah. Do you use that?
I do. And I found this year in my Christmas cookies, careful listeners will note, I actually used Kerrygold for my butter cookie recipe, and it made an enormous difference.
Yeah.
Enormous difference. I didn't use Kerrygold. I used Plugra, but it's the same effect in that it's a higher butter fat butter, and you really could tell the difference in the butter cookies. It made a big difference. I can't believe that butter costs that much money, and it's so laughably high, it makes you think, that ain't right. Go fucking check it, and then take the butter and throw it on the wall and say the cows did not deserve this. This is crazy. This is abuse.
I'm going to ask my husband if Costco has a version of this butter that we can save some money on.
America is so bizarre in terms of the things that we artificially prop up and push down. From an economic standpoint, why can't we artificially push down the cost of butter? Why can't we artificially push down the cost of Wendy's? I mean, just push it down, America. Or have a carrot fast food chain with celeries and broccoli and salad. Stop making
I'm
a face.
Stop. I'm
they could
stop
do
you
it
right
nice.
There.
They could do it nice. They could make it taste delicious. You would love it.
I'm not interested in a nice carrot.
Firm poop. You're gonna sleep great. Your skin will be beautiful. Everything's wonderful with vegetables.
I would like all of those after effects, but
let me ask you
through.
Something. Do you ever try that sea moss?
Just the crispy seaweed stuff?
No, the sea moss jelly. The sea moss gel that you're supposed to eat by the spoonful and not gag. I almost came close to buying it because that Tabitha Brown eats it, and I swear she looks beautiful. Her skin is just so luscious, and I think to myself, self, all she's doing is eating vegetables and none of these meat products, no egg, no nothing, no fish, nothing, just vegetables. She's a vegan, doesn't even eat butter, and she was eating that sea moss by the tablespoonful, putting it in. And I'm like, gal, that shit is gross. If that would it take to look that way, maybe.
Okay, that's the question. Would you do whatever it takes to look the way you want to look?
Well, clearly I have not yet. So I think the answer is perhaps. I'm hopeful. I'm like, because my skin get real dry. My skin's getting real ashy and flaky. And I'm starting to think, maybe I need some omegas. Maybe they're supposed to go in. But I hate salmon.
You don't have to have salmon. You know what? Get yourself a, you can take omega pills. You'll be fine.
Making me burp.
But no meat, just vegetables? I mean, what? I can't do that.
They say it makes your sex drive go really big and hard, and also your muscles get strong. Like, vegans are, they rule the world, but they're just so, you know, devoid of meat.
Annoying.
That's a big one.
Lovely. Sorry.
That's a big part of it.
Devoid of meat. Meat, please. Thank y'all. I told you last time I'm not making it, but I'll eat it. Shit okay. out of it. The surprising thing about disappointing news is
I was ruled by a desire to conceal disappointment for all of my kids' formative years. When you were in the thick of kindergarten, primary school, middle school, high school, and everybody was kind of lockstep and doing the same thing. What'd you get on that math test? And did you make it onto the big team? And were you placed in the science fair? And whatever the fuck else, everybody, are you on the boat that's going to the place that has the thing? Did you make it onto the boat? National this and honor that, blah, blah, blah. It was so tough to be out of step. And I didn't ever claim it when they were right where they were supposed to be developmentally. I didn't wave the big flag. I didn't call other people and say, my child got an A, my child's on the honor roll, blah, 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 blah. I just let that stuff be silent. But if they weren't, boy, did I go out of my way to make sure that nobody knew. Like, I didn't ever want to talk about it. I felt self-conscious about it, all this kind of stuff. Now, I've got the oldest is a senior in college. The middle one is a freshman in college, and both of them have had significant bumps this academic year. They've had significant disappointed hopes in terms of working on a big project at school, and it didn't come to pass. Applying for a particular job or suite of jobs and didn't get onto the boat, didn't make it onto the team, right? Wanted to go out and do something and decided at the last second, no, I'm not going to do that. And I'll be completely honest. I feel like I probably shouldn't tell people's business. Maybe I won't tell their business. So the middle child set his sights on doing a thing, set out to do the thing, and then decided, I know that I can't do this. I have to pull out and try again at another time. I have to stop. And I'm making it sound worse than it is. He was pledging a fraternity mm-hmm. that he really wanted to be in, and he knew that I'm going to rule this fraternity and it's going to be so great and I'm going to fail out of school in the process. And
oh
I'm
my
not
God, how mature I'm not is
willing
that?
To, I'm not willing to do it. So I'm withdrawing from this incredibly fun, exciting thing that I've longed for, that everybody's excited for me to be a part of. I decided I'm not going to pledge. I'm just going to pull out of that, and I'm just going to worry about it next year. I gotta be in school to be in school. And I'm like, first of all, who are you? And number
yeah,
two,
I love
keep
that
being
for
that
him.
Person. But how hard? So it's like, I am not disappointed about that at all. I felt nothing but pride and joy.
Yes.
I didn't in the same way where all the other moms are saying, you know, is he in XYZ? Because in our college, in our university, you can pledge in the fall. They're all talking about their kids are in this fraternity or that fraternity or in this, going to Europe on this award scholarship or that award scholarship. Like, that's so great for you. And I feel no comparison. And I don't care in the sense that I don't take any accomplishment or shame in achieving these goals in the same way that I did when they were younger. Do you see what I'm saying?
It's I
like
do.
Whether
I think
or not
we were
you get a job
before,
whether or
yeah.
not you get a job, you know, in your, for the summer internship at the highest falutin architecture place that you really wanted to go after, I don't care. I don't even care if you get a job at all, because I already know that you're a success. And it's just a question of, like, you're an adult now. Like, slings and arrows of being an adult happen all the time. And I sort of have this different grading scale. I'm surprised by it. I'm surprised by my reaction to their devastating news. It was a devastating choice for my middle child to say, I need to, you know, self-preserve.
That's not how you see it, though.
I need to self-preserve,
right?
And
not to you.
But I've got to do what I got to do. I got to live to fight another day. And I'm like, this is extraordinary. This is why I'm so happy.
Yes, yes. That's the difference, because it's the end of something he desperately wanted. And the, everything our children desperately want, we want for them. Any disappointments they have, we feel tenfold. We feel with them at that length and way past. And to feel like, oh, okay, that didn't work out. Great, because I see that you recognized it. You made the change without coming to talk to me in the first place and having me go,
tell me after the fact.
Well,
I shot for the moon and I fell super short. I'm like, oh, that's so disappointing for you. And I'm saying it just talking to you about it. Like, of course,
right.
I'm empathetic and let's, this is really
I'm so
shitty.
Proud of
but
him.
But at the same time, I don't fucking, like, I didn't care if you got to what you were shooting for. I cared that you wanted it. So I wanted you to get it. I'm trying to understand. Is it because they are older? Is it because I am older? Is it because both of those things are true? Like, why in the past, if they were shooting for something and didn't get it, it was so tough to take, because it was a combination of their disappointment and mine. I really wanted them to have that thing. Whereas now, I don't know, when they were younger, I didn't believe that it was inevitable in the same way. I knew they would be successful people, but their success somehow hinged on being in that honor club in that moment. Is that what it is?
Yes and no. You want to set your kids up for the best possible future. When they are a very young age, they can't do everything by themselves. You have to guide them. They're learning from you. They're getting direction and what's appropriate from you, and they see what you value. Your values in, I need to do well in school.
I'm here to get a degree.
Yes. And my parents are paying ridiculous fees for this. You saw it as, I'm not going to let them down or myself down. I have a future. And when they were little, all they wanted was what was next. It wasn't for my future. He just made a wildly mature decision.
I still don't believe it.
That is, I'm going to say this. Don't take it the wrong way. It's shocking, because
it's super shocking. I still don't believe it, actually, but I'm going to trust it. God bless.
It's hard to trust, but like, you can sleep now and it's great. Like, that's, I'm waiting for that aha moment. I think I got a piece of it with my kid when he said, I'm leaving by myself to Australia.
Right.
And I'm just like, are you sure? Mommy's not there.
Mommy's
and
not there.
What's funny about that?
All of it? How about mommy? Mommy's not there. Mommy's not in Pittsburgh either. Are
What's
you
funny
sure?
About that? Mommy can get to you in Pittsburgh.
In Australia.
Mommy will be in Australia, but mommy's not there. And I can't. What do you mean? And the time difference. Mommy can't even help when it comes to, are you sure you want this? And he's like, yeah, bitch, I got this.
Yeah. And I kind of been separated from mommy for a little bit now.
Just so you know, he left today for a surf, a few days at a surf camp. And when
Dang.
He gets home from surf camp, he's taking a page out of your kids, your firstborn's book, and he's going to Bali with his friends.
Woo! Yes, please. That's
I'm
for
coming
me.
Back. That's for me. I'm coming back as my firstborn when all
for
this
real.
Journey is
you
over.
You and me both. She, Lord, please. So, yes.
Sorry,
you
sir. I did
both.
Not do the assignment this weekend. I was too busy falling in love. Don't Aww. Think I don't tell that story every fucking day. ladies of a certain age, there has been a supplement, I want to say, that my gynecologist came out with, and she didn't come out with, but came and told me about at a cocktail party. And she said, hey, Melissa, I know that you've shared with me that perimenopause kind of gives you some hot flashes, not full sweats, but hot flashes and anger flashes and and makes you want to flash people, like lots of things. I see that you're here is a pill that you can take. It is completely natural. It's not hormonal. It's just herbs and roots. I don't know. Great. So I start taking this thing and am I less angry? I don't know. However, when Amazon tells me it's time to repurchase this herb, twig, and berries, I think, oh, what else does this company make? And it shows me immediately. And I think, oh, hot flashes. I need that more than the I'll take that. Sure. Order. I like herbs. You know I like herbs.
I know that.
So I get it. Great. As I'm reading the bottle to see, because it went from a tiny little orange pill to a horse pill that is scored in the center, and it says, take two. Great. I read it, and it says, after prolonged use, it assists with orgasms and sexual pleasure.
Who's your doctor?
And I said, oh, boy. This isn't the first one she told me to take. It was one that's by the same company that says, you know, this assists with hot flashes and orgasms.
Blink,
and
blink.
I said,
blink, blink.
I don't need help with orgasms. However, if I'm eating a chocolate bar and somebody offers me another chocolate bar.
But let's slow this. Let's slow this down for a second.
No.
Yes. Let's slow this down for a minute. Whoever would say, I don't need help with orgasms? Because
I don't need help. I mean, sure.
Is this not something that everyone wishes to improve? Are we not on a continuum to always wish to level up? Surely there's, I mean, yeah.
Level up.
It doesn't mean that where you are is a problem, but isn't it also true that wherever's next is better? Like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yes and no. I don't feel that way. I think.
You think you've reached peak zenith orgasm. No need to improve. Don't wish for any more. You're Samantha.
No, I always want more. But
that's right.
Better?
So,
better?
Yes.
I think even a bad orgasm is a good orgasm. Like,
all
good
true.
Pizza?
Many
bad
things
pizza?
Can be true. But, so now are you going to give us the update on the pill? And what's the pill name? And where do you get the pill? Pill.
I don't have it with me right here. But I will take a picture of it and I will text it to you and we can decide if we're letting all of our friends in on this extra. Yeah,
oh,
I'll post it.
Here's what I can tell you. Now, we should create a link tree and put it on TikTok. Do you know why? I posed a question. You asked.
I did.
Should we pose this question on the social media? So I went to social media and I posed a question and I posted it in our TikTok, Brilliant Observations podcast TikTok. Listen, brilliant. And would you know that within the first hour, that post had generated 2,000 views, which is a lot of views if you don't know about TikTok. And I thought, that's a lot of views. What now? And I thought to myself, self, what if this gets to 10,000 by the end of the day? Wouldn't that be crazy? Wouldn't that be crazy? If we get to 10,000 views, I will declare we have gone viral. And I monitored it, and I monitored it, and people would ask questions, and I would go in and say blah, 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 to the questions. Okay.
Wow, you really interacted. I was fantastic. I loved
That's
it.
That's part of probably why TikTok was like, oop, we got a live one. We got a live one. So then finally I was like, oh, fuck this. So I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning, rubbed my greedy little hands together, and it was 34,000 views.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
Nuts.
Did we get
any
helpful
here's
information?
Here's what we gained.
Okay, good.
From 34,000 views, we added a sum total of 9 followers.
Thanks, guys.
Nothing. Fucking nothing. UConn Cornelius licking the pick. We got fucking nothing after all of this. Okay. And then I thought to myself, let's go over to Libsyn, our podcast host, and let's see how many people. Because then I thought, guess what? Check it. I will put the link to our podcast in this crazy viral post on Tick'em Tock'em. I put it in the bio description. I have an actual link to YouTube. All you got to do is touch it. You don't even have to leave. You just touch it. You click it. And it takes you immediately to the show on YouTube. You can play it on YouTube.
We
have currently 2 views of that episode on YouTube, one of which is mine when I fucking tested it by clicking that fucking link. Okay. Yeah, and we have a sum total of 4 non-subscriber downloads based on this. I mean, that's I checked it this morning. So, I don't know, maybe it'll grow over time. But it's like, after all that, in my fantasy realm of what virality, now maybe 34,000 is not enough views. How many you got to get for people to be interested in learning about poop and sex pills and all the other stuff we talk about on this show?
Our wheelhouse. Yes, that is our wheelhouse. Poop and sex things. What's your show about? The woman who served me farfalle said, I get an energy from you. And I'm like, fuck.
I know you do. You're welcome.
And my husband said, she's got a podcast. So
I get an energy from you. That's a good statement.
Is it?
Yes. Well, what do you want her to say? You have no energy? Your vital force is zero?
What up, lethargic? How's your day? Nice to meet you, Mrs. Lethargy.
I tried to kill you, but you don't got no veins. Yeah, I mean, come on. You got to have some vitality to you. Come on.
3 hots in a cot for the rest of my life.
Wow. I don't even know what the fuck that is. All right.
She might be our new subscriber or non-subscribing listener. Maybe that's it. So did we come up with super helpful answers? If there's a trust, our question was, if you had a diagnosis that was very bad, what do you do with your debt? Looking for information from all accountants out there, but nobody at the IRS, please.
The overwhelming response is that credit card debt is owed by the signatory. The person who takes out the credit card owes that debt. And if that person passes away without paying the debt, that's it.
No, their estate has to pay back that debt.
And if
there
her
is
estate,
no estate, yes.
If her estate, there's a way that you set up the estate where it doesn't have to pay it back.
Right, in a trust for a minor or a, yes.
Right,
or
so yeah, so just create a trust and then all of a sudden the credit card debt becomes no thanks. Just
done done.
Go wherever you want to go. So okay. Live it up.
And that was
can.
Helpful. And we are going to dip our toe in the waters of, what'd you call it? Virality? It sounds like a disease that we're all getting.
It is a disease
like
that we're all getting. And I don't know, frankly, it is a disease that some of us are getting in much higher fixation than others, because I would venture to say very few people care about virality. And I also want to say, similar to the surprising thing about disappointing news, the surprising thing about going viral, if this even counts as going viral, is it was such a nothing burger. It got nothing. I had thought on a very, very, very low simmering level, that's something that I want. That's an accomplishment. That's in the incredibly long, non-hierarchical to-do list of my life. That was on there. And going viral in that way, it was meaningless. It was less than meaningless. It didn't accomplish anything. It didn't bring satisfaction. It didn't bring progress against our goals. It didn't expose our show to the 34,000 people that theoretically should have clicked it and gone there and downloaded us immediately. Can you imagine if 34,000 people download that episode? Like, that's significantly higher downloads than we currently get. If you think that we get 34,000 downloads each month, thank you. More, please. And also tell your friends, because it's not 34,000 yet.
Yes.
It's not that yet. So we'll see what TikTok does for us. Thanks,
I want to tell you, I don't know if it's the supplement I took last night for the first time that says you need to take it for months and months, but I got a boner when you said if we had 34,000 new listeners. I love the idea of that. I think our goal, and we need to make that clear, is world domination.
Right. 100% right.
Look, guys, tell your friends, because we will fix the Supreme Court.
Yeah, 100% fast.
We will clear up debt. This is our platform.
Right.
This is our platform. And if you're against it, I don't get it, but that's your choice.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
Join us or die. I mean, that's our
platform.
Oh,
okay.
Platform,
I didn't
right?
realize we're pushing the envelope
world,
that far.
It's world domination. I mean, you got to dominate sometime. Let's go.
So we won a court case and we came down to the shore to the beach house that we were confident was going to be taken away, because I have the ability to always go to the worst possible case scenario.
You are it's Cassandra. Yes.
It's a gift. Wah, wah, wah. I am Debbie Downer. It's a gift. Once I get here, my husband claims I become Margate Missy. And I turn into
this!
A different person where I'm friendly and outgoing and people get an energy from me.
What is that? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I didn't realize Margate Missy was that's it. That's who you are. I love it. I love her.
So I said, what do you mean I'm not like this at home? He's like, well, how often do you leave the house at home? And how often do you share your joy? So he's got a point. Don't let him. But I came down here, and now I'm back into good food and dog walks and
quality time with Hubzubs.
A quality time with Professor Non-Negligent. And I like it. I can see living a life like this. It just doesn't pay. So that's our next TikTok. Guys. How do we live this lifestyle without paying for this lifestyle?
We're looking for you to support our lifestyle.
Can you do that?
Yes. People do it all the time. They send money. They just put their things like a Cash App and, like I said, a Linktree. They put lots of little ways for people to give money to one another. And I don't know why people do it, but they do it. They do it. There was a man doing a live last night. A live is what you think it is. Instead of doing a pre-recorded, edited video as a post, you turn on the camera and it's happening right there while you're sitting there. And you can engage with the person while they're sitting there.
But not just anyone can do that. You have to be at a level where you have a certain number of followers. TikTok definitely only lets certain people go live. Go ahead.
It's a feature that's only available to people that have, I believe it's either 1,000 or 10,000 followers. I don't know which. But you have to have an audience of some magnitude before they'll even allow you to go live. And then once you go live, they push your content even more. So it's, again, they're setting up hierarchical levels to keep you engaging with. It's TikTok's method of inciting people to keep coming back. Okay, so this guy, I thought it was brilliant and also sickening and brilliant. He went live and put text on the screen that said, so there's a title. It said, I won't talk until I see my type join this live. So he's sitting there. And as people join the live, their profile photo comes up in his feed, because that's how it works. So he can see who's joining. He takes his phone. He turns it to the camera and shakes his head no. So he's having all these women come onto the live. He'll turn their photo around and he'll go, nope. So he's waiting to speak until someone, his type, meaning like attractiveness, comes on the live, and he keeps just going no. And I sat there and I watched it for about 4 minutes because I was fascinated by it. And I thought, and I'm in here too. Like, I have joined the live just because I couldn't believe what I was watching. Just the whole idea of the pick me culture and that he's commanding it. And he's like, you won't get a reaction from me until I deem it, until I decide you are worthy of my time and attention.
That
and
is so gross.
It was so gross and flagrant and also brilliant. And I tell you, I scrolled away once I finally was like, the meta awareness that I was actually participating in it as more than a voyeur. Like, I was like, I gotta, this is crazy. But also props for being so completely transparent.
Despicable.
Because I had been in there for about 4 minutes, as I continued scrolling and horsing around on TikTok, it kept popping up. It kept coming back to me. And he was now doing push-ups and, like, showing people, like, nope, still not, nope, still not, nope. So the obvious gag is he's exploiting the live because he's never going to have someone that's his type, because all he wants is people joining the live and people just want to get picked. The whole thing to me was fascinating.
You hit the pick-me culture. Ew. What is the cure to pick-me culture? Good self-esteem? I don't know. Like, what is that, the cure? Like, decent self-esteem?
I think that pick-me culture is just the fringe edges of the human nature and the innate longing for connection. We exist to be connected to each other. Babies die when they don't have physical touch. When they don't have skin-on-skin contact, human babies die. We are humans, and we crave connection with other humans in every form that we can get it. And so I think that's natural and a good thing. I love community. I love connection. I think it's great. When it is unnatural and forced and sweaty and pick me, that's just the fringes.
Sweaty.
It's just the, you know what I mean? That's what my kid calls a try hard. When you're super try hard, he's like, he's a little sweaty, which I love.
Yes, it's their terminology. Yes. I loved hearing it come out of your mouth when they're
no,
sweaty.
And my other favorite is I've been spending time on TikTok as I've been answering all these TikToks for our 34,000 TikTokers, which hopefully the number is higher now since I keep talking about it. Okay, there's this one guy who's a teacher who says, my favorite new thing is inventing slang words and trying to convince my students that they're slang from me. And like he'll invent, I can't even think of one right now, but he'll call it like a bing bop. He's like, I'm such a bing bop, guys. What do you don't know what that is?
You don't know what that means?
Right. And the ones he invents, they actually sound like a thing. I've got to find him and post it on our socials so that you listeners can see it. It's really funny and he's really good at it.
That's hilarious. Yes. I love that it's not just their stupid phraseology looking at old people saying, you don't understand. I can't explain it to you. You're too old. First of all,
that's
fuck you.
Pick me. That's insider. That's I have something you want, and I will gatekeep until you come and I deem it okay for you to have it. That's just pick me. It's the other side of pick me, right?
It's gross.
That's what fashion is. That's what Versace is, right? You can have this beautiful stuff if you pay me more money than you've ever made in your entire life. I'm keeping it at such a high level. Make you want it.
Ames, what was the thing when you were in elementary school that all the girls were doing, wearing, having, and you wanted?
I don't know.
The pick-me fashion.
I was so on the outs of that stuff, and I went to a school where we wore uniforms, so our self-expression was really limited to things
like bullying, like
socks,
bullying.
Socks and shoes and handbags. Like you just couldn't, or the pen that you used or whatever. You didn't have the ability.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember the pen with the troll on the top that you can put your hands together and it's
terrible? I do. And I think, I don't know that it was the thing that I really, really wanted, but the thing that was the fashion back in the day were these like button bags with a wood handle. It was like a purse with a wooden handle and you would change the outer cover by like buttoning it or snapping it on the outside. It was like a little canvas bag that had like a corduroy cover. And then you would get those embroidered or in gray, whatever, with your initials. And then that switched over to, I think it was Le Sac. Everybody had, do you remember?
Le Sport Sac.
Le Sport Sac bags. Yeah. All those sorts of things. But
gear bags? Do you ever have a gear bag? It's rubber. It's legit rubber with a zipper on top gear.
I don't think so. I think I've seen those. They came later for me. So, and yeah, most of my stuff was like, I was in the pool. So I, like with Rick Schroeder, I missed a lot of things because I was actively competing.
Underwater.
I was underwater, literally. And the other thing is I kind of didn't really participate in a lot of the social stuff. And by that, I mean, I sort of was really unaware of whether I was in or out. I vividly remember the neighborhood kids who were truly my best friend, like lived around the corner and that we were best friends from wherever and wayever, just my group that I hung out with all the time. I went to a party in high school with them and I didn't realize that they were in public school and I was not. I didn't realize that they were the most popular kids in their school. And when I happened to see some of my friends and introduce, they knew everybody else and they were like shocked. Yeah. And stunned, they're like, oh my God. Like, all of a sudden, I had like this huge jump in street cred.
How did you go from in the pool underwater?
Well,
to
no,
being
they were
famous.
It was sort of like a weird, it's not even like a, it was a weird awareness because they looked at me completely differently and were trying to, like, it was like a money grab. They immediately wanted to solidify their relationship with me, and they had changed their perception of me. Like, I just thought I was friends with you, but now I realized you're valuable to me in a way I didn't realize. So I need to be deeper friends with you. So simultaneously, they were like trying to take from me.
Well, they're trying to climb on you
and kind of insult me at the same time with this idea, like, you're a value conduit because you're connected to someone who's so much better than you. And I didn't even realize like the whole thing. So I was like, what the fuck is this? So that was sort of one of, I vividly remember it. And I remember the party, like we were in a basement, like the whole fucking thing. So I kind of, I don't really, as much as I tap into things and pay attention to things, a lot goes over my head because I just can't be fucking bothered. So, or I never, I never really fucking noticed. And so that again was like secret sauce. I wasn't like above the bullies or any of this other stuff. I just didn't notice it. So I was like, I didn't have Teflon from it. I had lack of awareness. So again, so in high school, a lot of this stuff was like made known to me and I was like, oh, okay. Glad I missed that. Fuck. Don't like
they,
that part.
They used you as the squatty potty stool to get closer. Ooh, stool. To get closer to that super popular group.
It was just
group.
It was just weird. That's it.
Tune in next week to hear where those despicable users are today. We will be using social media, pick me, pick me, and see how those losers turned out.
Oh, boy.
Do they have their own podcast and can tell you about these amazing children? Oh,
does
no,
their
do
wild success include a completely ineffectual $34,000 glow up that happened and didn't do a thing?
I don't know. Are they semi-viral or did they get plicked off with a virus? Tune in next week to find out. Dear listener, thank you so much for turning us on again this week. We are so grateful for you. Specifically, Melissa is incredibly grateful for you and your support. There were emails, there were text messages, there was love flowing from you to me. And I don't believe in prayers and shit, but I do believe in love and I do believe in people. And love and people were absolutely there for our family. And I thank you for that.
And you know what? You know what? I think the energy that was palpable, vibrating off you in that restaurant was relief. I think energy was peace. I think that energy was calm. I think that energy was
THC?
Surrender. I think it was time for you It was exhale. I think you have been holding your breath for at least a month.
Yeah.
Right? And so
you know that feeling, dear listener, where you have to tell yourself, where you feel your shoulders in your ears. Big breath. Thank you. I appreciate all of it. Amy, you sent the most of it. You're the best. I love you. Dear listener, we love you. Thank you for listening. Find us at Brilliant Observations on Instagram and TikTok podcast. Find us there. Listen Brilliant. We love you.
We love you. And we'll be back for more.
Bye. Love that laugh. Yes, that is our wheelhouse. Poop.